Cathal, firstly, if I can ask you, why are you here tonight?
I'm here to speak about my autobiography, which is out now and it's called Out of Control. I suppose it's to talk about my life and more so about addiction and, you know, to give, it's probably a hard read for people to read. It's a very real read. And, you know, the reason I wrote the book was to give people that's in the same situation that I was in, or people that's going to come behind me, that wee bit of hope, you know, to say that, look, this man can do it, I can do it. So that's the main reason why I'm here, to talk about it and to I suppose, answer some questions that people have on their minds.
Quite a story. For someone looking from the outside, they'll say, well, you know, that guy had everything. What on earth went wrong?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what went wrong. The bookies went wrong with me. I suppose I probably did have everything I needed. I had a great family and you know, football career was going in the right direction. And I just found gambling a form of an escape. And I just couldn't stop it. I got hooked on it, and it was just this new buzz and rush for me that I could still play football without having to affect my body. I didn't, you know, I could get away with it without, you know, I could still go to training, other than drink, which you probably will, another high you'd get from going out and stuff. I could get this high from just by sitting in the bookies and placing bets without having to do actually anything to my body, you know. So, yeah, it was unfortunate the way things developed, and it has had a major impact on my life, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody obviously would have seen the papers and the incident with the Geb Horn video. How did that happen?
It mentions in the book, it goes in the good detail how it happened. Like, but look, it just, the gambling took over my life, and you know, all I thought about from the morning I got up till I closed my eyes was where I was going to get the money to gamble. You know, if I had money, how was I going to get more money? How was I going to win more money? And it just was all evolving around money and placing bets. And that's the way I went. And when I had no money, you know, as you can see from the book and the papers, that I resorted to desperate times and desperate things.
At one stage, it seemed to be there was a news story about you every day in the papers, including being targeted by paramilitaries. Is that true?
At the time, I suppose it was a real problem. And like, looking back now, I don't know if it was real or it wasn't real or it was said to scare me, but at the time I took it pretty seriously. And, you know, I treated it with the respect that I suppose I needed to. And like, it was a bad time for me, a bad time for my family. And look, it was a very, very hard time in all of us, just not me and I suppose what I put my family through. And, you know, you can very easily forget about them as well through the whole thing, and it was how they were affected as well through the whole thing, just not me. So people always ask me how I was, so you know, you have to take into consideration too, your family is greatly affected by it as well.
You've come through it. What helped you do that?
There was a time where I thought I wasn't going to come through it. I sat down, and I remember my first few weeks in recovery, and I thought there was no way out of this, and I'd seen, you know, I couldn't see a light, and I just started going to my classes that you do in recovery in Coonamore. And I think maybe week three or week four, I kind of had a light bulb moment that, like, am I going to sit down here and just roll over, or am I going to try and get back up and have some sort of life, you know? So I just took every day as it came, and it just took off from there, and I just put my head down and worked really, really hard. I think people see me now, and they see that would happen to me, and then to see where I am now, and I just think, Jesus, you done well. But like, I've done an awful amount of work behind the scenes to get back to where I am. And I suppose it's like any good football team, they do a hell of a lot of work in the pre-season and off season to win all Ireland's, and it's no different than recovery. You have to put an awful lot of work into it to get back to some sort of normal life.
Some issues do remain, though.
Yeah, some issues do remain. I'm far from perfect. I'd always say that. I'm constantly working on myself, but like, you know, I am trying. I'm trying to make myself a better person. I want to change things in me. I'm very aware that I need to change things about me. And I suppose none of us are the finished article, but I'm well aware of what I need to change, and I suppose that's the most important thing is having awareness of it and trying to make that change.
You're about to face the audience with Adrian Logan here. I guess it's a message of hope in many ways.
Yeah, that's the aim of the book. Like, it probably is a very tough read. It's a very real read, but the main aim of the book is to give people hope. You know, I almost get from some kind of people that, from what I come through, that, you know, I kind of need, people almost want to see me with my head down, and they don't want to see me smiling, you know, but look at the message that there is, you can get back to life and get back to living a good life again. And like, every day for me, it's a struggle, but as the time goes on, it becomes a less of a struggle, and, you know, it's definitely getting a lot easier than it was at the start. And it's a message of hope, and to give people that strength, maybe that they don't see at the moment. Maybe they're in addiction and they can't get out of it, and they're maybe in denial from it. And look, maybe if it helps a few people from that, then it'll be doing its job.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.